Explain what the Courageous Conversations is. How did that come about?
Well, we wanted to have an advanced directive, kind of a task force, I guess, is the best way to go to talk, say it. But we wanted to get the people of Ketchikan to have their advanced directives done. I think the numbers are like 90% of people say that they would like to have their advanced directives filled out, but then only about 30% actually do. So.
And explain what advanced directives is. What types of – are they documents? Are they decisions? How does advanced directives work?
So a living will is also called an advanced directive to physicians or advanced directive, is a document that lets people state their wishes for end-of-life care, end-of-life medical care, in case they become unable to communicate their decisions. It has no power after death, and I think that's a big misinterpretation of living will is that people think that it's actually a will, like with your estate, but it has nothing to do with that.
Okay. And Maggie and Leisha, how are you involved with this Courageous Conversations?
Well, we're both hospice. This is Leisha. We're both hospice volunteers. And actually, Marzette Ellis is the one that came up with that we needed to do some more beyond hospice, which is very important, companioning people as on their journey through this life. The Courageous Conversations is helping people make medical decisions outside of their physician so that their family and their loved ones know what their end-of-life medical care should look like and what it shouldn't look like, what they want done at the end of their life and what they want to have happen. You know, most of us have started this conversation by, those of us that are my age certainly, have started this conversation by labeling pictures and things. This should go to, you know, this daughter. This just extends that conversation. And, you know, it's actually a gift of love to your family and friends, because when someone passes, we have to have a grieving time. And if all of these decisions are made ahead of time, then that grieving is we're allowed to grieve a lot simpler and a lot easier. We don't have to make those decisions like, what does my funeral look like? What does my last party look like? Do I want a breathing tube? Do I want this to have happened? Do I want someone with me all the time as I pass from this life to the next? So all of those decisions are made. One of the things that we wanted to really bring out is that once these decisions are made, everyone needs to know about it. It needs to be filed at the hospital. It needs to, your family and your friends need to see it. For instance, it would be my daughter, my husband would have a copy of this. It doesn't do any good to sit in the cabinet.
And for some people, this is extremely difficult, I imagine, to even go to that place of saying, I have to make this. Yeah,
definitely.
This is a hard conversation.
And we want to make it so, you know, that we have a culture of like, we can talk about death in our, you know, in our society. I mean, I think nationwide we're going to that, but we'd like to see it in Ketchikan too. So,
and how you all work in hospice, is this something that you kind of help people with, like you really need to start making these decisions, or how is hospice, I guess, involved with
Not
that?
Not really. As hospice volunteers, we don't get involved in people's living wills. This is sort of a side. And so to have a workshop where people can come, look, I mean, these are people that are not involved in hospice care at all.
So. We have several people from within the community that are not hospice volunteers that are going to be part of the workshops that, I'm so glad you asked, are tomorrow, Saturday, the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th at the Peace Health Office on the second floor of the mall, the Plaza Mall, from 10 o'clock until 2.
Yep. And is that... The 10 to 2, is it a four-hour session, or do you just drop in?
Just drop in. It's all drop in. So we come by and talk
sometime
to
during
us
that
about,
time. And what kinds of things will you be offering doing during those sessions?
All kinds of things. If people just want to come talk about what is an advanced directive, I still don't really quite understand it, I'm ready to fill out word for word, and go down and get it notarized. We'll have a notary there, so and we'll have snacks, and they can talk about hospice. They can come talk about their experiences with death or with advanced directives.
They can talk. We can help people. How do I begin this conversation with my family? Mm-hmm. How do I begin this conversation with my spouse, with my significant other? How do I begin this conversation? We can help them with ideas on how to do that. And then, of course, we're going to try and solicit them to help spread the word and get more and more people to do their advanced directive, their end-of-life decisions.
So this can be for someone maybe they themselves aren't necessarily or wanting to do this, or maybe they've already taken care of it, but perhaps they have a loved one that they're trying to encourage to do this.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
I went to visit some friends, and they are, you know, this is for now. This is for every age. It's not just for someone that's 80. It just turned out that this couple were older, and they're not in good health. And so the conversation came around to, it just had an opportunity for me to say, have you made any end-of-life decisions? And it was absolute silence. It was like this huge pregnant pause, and I was like, oh my God, in those seconds I'm trying to think of how can I move on. And I said, it would be horrible on all of us when you pass. Would you like to have these conversations now? And it just continued to be dead silence. It was frightening. Anyway, and that's what happens a lot in, mm-hmm. because Americans have a hard time saying dead or dying. Yeah. Don't remember George Carlin used to do that skit. Anyway, so we're trying to make this an easier. Some of the things that we're contemplating is doing death and dinner, death and deli, just to make it not a scary thing.
Right. It's a natural part of life, birth
and
is.
And something to think about, too, is if you don't make these decisions for yourself, somebody else makes them for you. Mm-hmm. And is that what we want?
And that would be difficult on that person, too, if you don't know what someone really wants.
Exactly.
And you're making these, and then I can see also people, conflicting siblings or whoever, relatives, wanting something different. And I imagine it can get not pretty.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of all the times that you've seen families, loving families, that at mom or dad's end of life and everything goes crazy and they don't speak to each other because they didn't have these conversations in advance.
Exactly.
And through grief, they start fighting. It's a horrible thing. And so, again, this is a gift of love to family and friends that these decisions are made. You don't have to fight. Have a great party. I'm Irish. So, at death, it's the best party ever.
And you have that all planned out?
Boy, do I have a great party planned.
And I think also important, I had spoken to somebody the other day about this, that this is not a final document. I mean, it's a living document that you change it. If you change your mind or things change, you can change it.
Yeah, and so our group is Courageous Conversations with an S, because you keep having these conversations. You can say right now, yeah, I want a feeding tube, or I want artificial nutrition or a breathing tube, but in 30 years, maybe I want to change my mind, or maybe my healthcare proxy, the person who you would want to make your decisions for you, would change. So
it's an ever-changing, it's a living thing. It's a living document.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also sounds like something really you should do at a young age, because you never know what may happen to you and having those decisions.
It's a dangerous thing, crossing Tongass.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Do it for now. So that kind of simplifies it. So like what would I say if I wanted this, if I needed it tomorrow, what would my decisions be? What would I want my family to know, or what would I want my doctors to know in how to treat me?
Okay. And we want these conversations to be, we want this to be in writing, because you can't rely on conversations you think you heard.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rely on, I think mom said that she wanted to be cremated. I think mom said, she, whatever. This has to be in writing, and it has to be very clear. And we can help with that on April 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th. And then we'll be having more workshops, and they'll be announced and advertised, so that we can continue these conversations these very courageous conversations throughout the year.
Okay, great. We just have a few seconds left. Anything else you wanted to add? Any? Okay.
We're silent.
That's okay. And again, a reminder, this isn't will writing. This isn't your will, but it's your end-of-life decisions, a group of people available to help you understand how to have conversations with others if you need to, or as well as help put together your own documents
yes.
to have on file. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.